You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
First post-Kings game podcast episode of the season, and it's after a Sacramento Kings win. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. This is your hub for Sacramento Kings talk, coverage, interviews, highlights. We have it all right here for you, and I am excited to say that Kings basketball has returned. Well, preseason basketball anyway, but it doesn't matter. The Sacramento Kings main roster played a real NBA game in Phoenix against the Suns. And not only that, they got the win. Now, wins and losses aren't important in preseason basketball. It's paying attention to individual matchups and little takeaways and analyzing how ready this team is for the start of the season and what things they need to work on and what they're doing well on. Ultimately, though, it always feels a little bit better when you're waking up the next day following a Sacramento Kings victory. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here on the Locked On Kings podcast. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK, the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings. I work there as an on-air host and a reporter, and KHDK is where you heard the G-Man calling a Kings win last night as they defeat DeAndre Ayton and the shorthanded Phoenix Suns. I will say they were shorthanded there without the presence and the play of Devin Booker. Now, the Sacramento Kings are also shorthanded as they were without four players last night, the main two being Bogdan Bogdanovic and Nemanja Bjelica, but the Kings still are able to get the win 106-102. I'm going to play some highlights for you from the G-Man and his call there in Phoenix. We're going to go through the good and the bad, some major takeaways from that game last night. And then I've been battling over the past yesterday evening and last night into this morning fans who are frustrated with the play of both Marvin Bagley and confusingly frustrated with Willie Cauley-Stein. So I'm going to address that in a little bit towards the end of the episode as well. But without any further ado, thanks to the Sacramento Kings and to the Sports 1140 KHDK for allowing us to use this audio. Here are some of the highlights, and here's the G-Man with his call of the Kings' victory in Phoenix.
Sacramento tries it again. De'Aaron Fox drive. Converts in the paint. He was challenged and I thought successfully blocked for a moment by Ayton, but the Fox was able to hang on to it to the last moment and then convert. Cauley-Stein at the top of the foul circle now with Ayton crowding him. Backdoor cut, quick twist. Yogi Ferrell scores his first bucket in a Kings uniform. Pass goes to Bender for three. Comes up short on the right wing and the rebound to Frank Mason. Long leak out pass. Harry Giles to the rack with a stick with the right hand. Harry Giles up the floor and a nicely placed pass for the assist. Got a ball knocked loose on the floor, grabbed by McLemore, feeds to the corner. Yogi Ferrell for three. He's got the triple. Yogi Ferrell, the 25-year-old third-year player, his first season with the Kings, now makes it a two-point ball game at 24-22. Justin Jackson with a left-hand flipper off the rim. No good. Dipped in. Cauley-Stein gives the Kings their first lead of the ball game at 42-41. Fox now hustles left. Kicks the pass cross court, wide open. Ferrell for three. You can't draw it up any better than that. Yogi Ferrell knocking down another triple and a great cross court feed from De'Aaron Fox. Great find. Kings by five, 47-42, 5 seconds to go. Willie Cauley-Stein had a notion to shoot it right angle. Now he puts it on the floor, drives on Ayton, goes left hand and converts. That's a great take to the basket by Willie Cauley-Stein. Faked the perimeter J, put it on the floor strong with the left hand against DeAndre Ayton and beat him to the rack.
Double-double now.
Harry Giles drives left, pulls up, 13-footer. Oh, that's sweet. Pure shot that time by Giles off the dribble. 68-64. Left side of the floor, shot clock at five. Out is Ferrell in rhythm for three. He's got his fourth three-pointer in his Kings debut. Sacramento goes back into the lead at 81-79. Ball in the hands of Ben McLemore in the far corner, brings it out to Ferrell straight away. Now challenged by Bender, pulls up, got a rainbow three on the way, banks it home. Yogi Ferrell having himself a ball game from downtown. Puts the Kings back on top. That's his fifth made three-pointer. And that was a straightaway bank shot over the outstretched arms of 7-foot-1-inch Dragan Bender. 5 minutes to go in the ball game. 88-85 Sacramento. Ferrell drives to his left, off balance, off the window, and he scores it. I'm not sure how he did it. That takes tremendous body control. Yogi Ferrell having a great ball game here in Phoenix. 325 and counting as Mason drives, sets up an alley-oop. Oh, what a stretch and what a conversion by Harry Giles. He really, really had to extend to somehow get his fingers on that, but he very calmly steered it home. Here's Giles, right shoulder to the basket, left wing to Farrell, looking for another three. Yogi Farrell is on fire. Foam the runways. My goodness, his sixth three-pointer of the ball game in eight attempts, and the Kings lead by six, 99-93. Farrell now has 24 points in his Sacramento debut. The inbounds pass to Troy Daniels. Lobs inside for Ayton. He digs to his left, goes with the left hand. Blocked by Bagley, and it's grabbed inside by Yogi Farrell. Responding to the challenge, Marvin Bagley III with a huge block on DeAndre Ayton. 35 seconds to go. Probe here by Mason. Frees up. 12-footer on the way. He's got the bucket. Kings lead 102-99. 30 seconds to go in the contest. So the Kings have a four-point lead. 2 seconds to go. Midcourt runner on the way from Okobo. That's it. Kings win preseason game number one. Final score in this one is 106-102. And what a night for Yogi Farrell in his debut in a Sacramento Kings uniform.
It is so great to hear the voice of Gary Gerald back on Kings Radio. It was just awesome to be able to both watch the online stream that the Sacramento Kings did a phenomenal job last night of giving fans a way to watch the game. So well done by them and well done by the Phoenix Suns to hook up a stream feed for the Kings. It was just a Jumbotron feed, and then it had G-Man's call on KHDK underneath it. But it was just great to have G-Man back, great to have Kings basketball back. The victory was fun. Before we get to the good and the bad from this game and some of my major takeaways from it, Yogi Farrell was fantastic last night, was he not? 26 points. He led the Kings in scoring. He really was responsible coming off the bench with that Kings second unit early on in the game of giving this team life as they got off to another slow and disappointing start offensively. We'll talk about that in just a second, but Yogi Farrell was fantastic. Red hot, 26 points, 6 of 9 from 3-point range, and he spent about a minute or so with the G-Man Gary Gerald following the game.
What a nice way to break in a Kings uniform.
Right? Yeah.
Did you have fun tonight?
I had a lot of fun, man.
What was most successful for you in your mind?
In my mind, I just wanted to push the tempo, just trying to create as much offense for my team as possible, whether it was driving and kicking or shooting a three. So we played a good game tonight. It was great for us to finish that one out.
When you had the big 7-1 bender out there and you shot the three that you banked in, I said, it's a good night for Yogi
Farrell. It's a real good night, man. The bank's open, even this late.
All right, it's on to Los Angeles for the Lakers Thursday. We only have a moment. I know that Coach wants to talk to you preseason, but welcome to the Kings organization.
Thank you. Nicely done. I'm glad to
be here. Appreciate a couple of moments of your time.
All right, thank you.
That's Yogi Farrell, who had himself a ball game tonight for the Sacramento Kings.
I tweeted this out last night, and I'm really excited to see this develop over the course of the year, but I have this perfect picture in my head of the Sacramento Kings starting the game fast, hot out the gate, running in transition, pushing the tempo as led by the speedy and versatile De'Aaron Fox. And they run him for 8 to 9 minutes nonstop. He gets winded. He gets fatigued. He and that starting unit come out of the game. The bench unit comes in, led by the very speedy and quick Yogi Farrell, and the pace is almost exactly the same, if not quickens. It's so incredibly exciting to know that this roster is filled with players that fit the system that allegedly the Sacramento Kings are trying to run. So that leads us into the good and the bad from last night. And I talked about on yesterday's podcast, one of the major takeaways and one things I was going to be keeping an eye on last night was, are the Kings going to put their money where their mouth is? Are they really going to play fast-paced? Out of the gate, it didn't look like it, but there's a good reason why. Out of the gate, offensively, they got off to a slow start, and they were running the ball through the high post with Willie Cauley-Stein a lot, very similar to what they did with Zach Randolph. Now, that didn't last long, but it was apparent. And I know some Kings fans took notice and voiced their frustration or displeasure right out of the gate. One of the major reasons for that, actually, I will go as far as to say the major reason for that was the fact that the Kings defensively struggled to get any stops early on. DeAndre Ayton looked like the consensus number one overall pick in the draft. He had a fantastic game last night. He is going to be very fun to watch and very interesting to keep tabs on in Phoenix. He played very, very well, but he was really all Phoenix had without Devin Booker. They're still trying to get Trevor Ariza used to things. They don't really have a point guard right now, so they're trying to figure that out. So the Suns have question marks and holes to fill as well, but DeAndre Ayton looked great, and Kings defensively couldn't really get any stops or get anything going. And so much of transition offense is a solid defense, and it's not necessarily lockdown getting steals or always blocking shots. It's making sure that shots are missed and you're getting a quick defensive rebound and the outlet pass and you're starting the break. And the Kings just didn't get much of that early on, which is why the starting unit didn't get off to the best of starts. Now, the starting unit, I'm going to put a little bit into my bad category. They didn't play too many minutes, which I thought was okay. De'Aaron Fox played decently well. Just around 30 minutes for him, and in those 30 minutes, actually 26 minutes total, Yogi Ferrell played 30 minutes, so I got those two mixed up, excuse me. De'Aaron Fox in 26 minutes had 12 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, but that starting unit did get off to a slow start, and I wasn't too impressed with the five that were rolled out there. It was Justin Jackson, Scalabissier, Willie Cauley-Stein, De'Aaron Fox, and Buddy Hield. Wasn't too pleased with that, although I was very happy to see how well the bench responded coming into the game. I mentioned Yogi Ferrell providing that spark. Harry Giles looked fantastic. 14 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists in 23 minutes. Frank Mason even got 22 minutes, turned in 11 points. The Kings had 5 players in double-digit scoring, which is fantastic. Everybody that got into the game, including Wenyen Gabriel, scored, except for Justin Jackson. Now, he has to go on my bad side, and I don't want to harp on this guy and bash on this guy, because I understand he's trying and he's working and he's a scapegoat for fan frustration and anger and impatience right now. But these starting small forward empty scoring column or bad stat lines are becoming far too consistent. Bogdan Bogdanovic being injured and being out for the start of the season threw an interesting curve into things, because I don't think the plan was, or I hope the plan was not, to have Justin Jackson starting at the 3 to open up the season. Now that Bogey is hurt, it's going to be probably Justin Jackson or Nemanja Bjelica, although I would put Justin Jackson at this point under Bjelica and Iman Shumpert, and you could make a case for Ben McLemore being ahead of him. Justin Jackson just does not look like he knows what to do offensively in the starting lineup and with this starting unit. He doesn't look like he knows how to play with De'Aaron Fox. He doesn't really look like he knows how to play with Willie Cauley-Stein or any of the young bigs. The best case scenario for Justin Jackson for his career and for this Kings team going forward is a volume scorer off the bench that can provide you 6 to 10 points any given night in 10 to 15 max minutes. That's really the best case that I can see with Justin. Now, it is preseason, it is early, and I don't want to be hypocritical making these blanket statements for Justin, but not wanting to make blanket statements, excuse me, for Marvin Bagley. So things could change, but it was disappointing to see him get another opportunity to start after having a very good offensive summer league and not being able to score even a single point last night in 19 minutes of play. But going back to the good side, I got to put Willie Cauley-Stein on there. Now, I'm going to talk about some fan frustration with Willie Cauley-Stein in just a little bit. But Willie Cauley-Stein had 11 rebounds at the end of the first half. Finished with 12 in the game overall and 14 points. He had 8 points, 11 rebounds going into the halftime break. Barely played or played a little bit in the third and fourth quarters. It was really the second unit that Dave Yeager allowed to finish and close out the game, which I will also put on my good side. The minutes distribution I'd like to see be different, but because it's preseason, I don't have a problem with Fox only playing 26 minutes and Willie only playing 26 minutes. But I did like the fact that Yeager rode that bench unit that had played solidly all night for the majority of that fourth quarter. They looked a little gassed and tired by the end of the game, which was okay. You got to see a lot of Harry Giles down the stretch until he fouled out of the game. And then we saw a lot of Marvin Bagley. Now, Marvin Bagley is both on my good and my bad list. I'll start with the bad. Offensively, Marvin Bagley still has massive holes, and I don't know if it's... I'd split it about 50-50. 50% of it is on him that he needs to improve his game. He needs to improve his offensive strength because he's just struggling to back players down. He got good positioning at times on DeAndre Ayton and other Suns defenders and just couldn't finish with that soft hook around the rim. May need to work with Zach Randolph and Costa Kufos, who are masters at that soft hook around or soft hook around the glass. But there were flashes of him getting good position, and he just couldn't convert. I give him two or three of those shots that he should make. If he makes, he finishes the game with 13 to 15 points, which feels a lot better than the 7 points that he ended up finishing with. The other bad, only two rebounds. Two rebounds in 25 minutes of play. Now that, to me, even in a preseason game, in your first preseason game against the number one overall pick in DeAndre Ayton, that to me is completely unacceptable. You cannot be playing 25 minutes, whether you're starting or coming off the bench, as an athletic big that is nearly 7 feet tall with great leaping ability, and you cannot pull down only two rebounds. That number has to be between 7 and 10 nightly. Nightly. Especially if you want to be a fast break team that runs the floor. I was disappointed to see that one of the biggest strengths for Marvin Bagley, and a really untalked about reason for why the Kings went out and drafted him. We know about his offensive potential and his fit in the open floor alongside De'Aaron Fox, but the Kings struggled as a rebounding team last year, and Marvin Bagley was brought in to hopefully help fill that gap. Two rebounds in 25 minutes is as far from filling that gap as you can get. So that was probably the thing that I was most frustrated and disappointed about with Willie Cauley-Stein. Now on to the good. He doesn't look fantastic on the defensive end, but he finished with two blocks, including a clutch block against DeAndre Ayton that changed the game. DeAndre Ayton had position on Bagley, as he had gotten on both Bagley and Willie Cauley-Stein all game long, had a good look at the basket to take the lead late, and Marvin Bagley blocked that shot. Now, we know that Bagley needs to work on his defense, that he's not known for his defense. He needs to get better with his strength, really, on both ends of the floor. But he is long, and he is athletic, and he used that to his advantage against DeAndre Ayton. The Kings knew where the ball was going. They still put Marvin Bagley on him down there, and Bagley made a play in a big moment. Again, it's preseason. The win does not matter, but it was still a big moment in a game, and Bagley stepped up, which is what you want to see from your number two overall pick. That alone allows me to forgive partially forgive the rebounding, and then make me smile and ultimately feel good about it, despite him struggling on the offensive end of the floor. I glossed over or passed through the second part of that. I talked about the 50% that's on Bagley. The other 50% of Bagley's offensive struggles, in my opinion, is on the team. I don't see the Kings knowing really how to use him effectively yet, or working him into a system, especially in the half court. Now, in transition, we know what he can do, how athletic he is. You don't really have to draw anything up. Just have him run the floor. If Fox or anybody can get him the ball, he will excel. But I expect Bagley to be better as a pick-and-roll role man in half-court offensive sets, and the Kings didn't really use him in that way. A lot of isolation on the wings, and he called for a lot of isolations himself, which he's not backing down from the challenge. He wants to get better and is striving to get better, but I'm looking for the Kings to try and find ways, Coach Yeager and this offense, to try and find ways to get him more involved, and I think someone who will help with that immensely when he comes back is Bogdanović. Continuing with the good and the bad, the last real thing that I could come up with for the good for the Sacramento Kings is the fact that they were able to close out a game with the bench unit, and that bench unit was able to maintain what they had done really from start to finish. Yogi Ferrell deserves so much freaking credit for that, and last night was definitely his game, and you heard me talk about it earlier and heard his comments with the G-man, but I'm absolutely excited to see how he continues to build upon that going forward. And then the last bad that I could really come up with was just the Kings half-court offense in general. It still is sloppy. It still is slow. A lot of high post. Just because you don't get out in fast break sets doesn't mean you can't utilize your skill and your speed in half-court offensive sets. I would have liked to see them get Buddy Hield more involved. He didn't touch the ball nearly as much as I would like, but he also didn't play a massive amount of minutes. So just little things, things to keep an eye on and things to keep tabs on as the Kings now travel and will play against the Los Angeles Lakers on Thursday and then the Warriors on Friday. Just keep these things in the back of your mind, things to pay attention to heading into those games. So we got our first taste. Now let's see how they improve upon what we know they need to work on. And I guarantee you, Dave Yeager and that front office and that coaching staff and that entire roster knows, okay, this is the things we did well. This is the things we need to improve on. Let's try and build and move forward and take the right steps in the right direction. But I got to talk about frustrations. First off, with Willie Cauley-Stein, fans still have a problem with his comments that he made during media day saying that he wants to get paid. I don't have any issue with him making those comments. Now, some fans, if you really want to have a problem and really want to reach and say, well, he should be saying he wants to win games, he should be talking about the team first, not the money. Okay, but this is the NBA. He's seen all of his colleagues, all of his fellow rookies and players that are 1 year older than him cash in on major contracts. He saw what Clint Capella got paid this summer. He's seen what DeAndre Jordan's been making. He knows there's money out there, and he wants a chunk of it. Of course he does. Every player in the NBA does, and Willie Cauley-Stein has never shied away from saying what's on his mind. Now, that doesn't mean that we can excuse him sometimes putting his foot in his mouth, which he does from every once in a while. But stop making such a big deal out of a guy saying that he wants to get paid. And fans were frustrated with the fact that they thought Willie Cauley-Stein didn't play too well out of the gate. And I think they were more frustrated, not with Willie specifically, but the fact that the Kings were running a lot of their half-court offense through him because they really didn't look like they had much of a clue of what to do in the half-court when their transition was slowed down. Willie Cauley-Stein, like I said earlier, gave you 8 points, 11 rebounds in the first half, ended with 12 total rebounds in 26 minutes to go along with 14 points. In 26 minutes from your starting center, now I expect him to be over 30 a night, but in 26 minutes, if you're telling me Willie Cauley-Stein will give me 14 points and 12 rebounds, no, he didn't have any block shots. That's concerning, but it's not a huge deal that I'm making out of a preseason game. But if you were to tell me 14 and 12 nightly from Willie Cauley-Stein in around 30 minutes, I would tell you, fantastic, that's exactly what I want from my athletic starting center. What do you expect and want from him? He is not your number one guy. He's not your number two guy. I wouldn't even say he's your number three guy. He's capable of being that on a nightly basis. I know consistency is a struggle and a question mark for him, but what I saw last night was a player that improved rebounding the basketball, which was one of the things we bashed him on, his inconsistency on the glass a lot last year. He showed a tenacity to go after the ball. He had a lot of rebounds early on, and he was one the guy really in that starting lineup that bore the brunt of the slow offensive start. The Kings couldn't really get anything going, so they tried to run through him. I have no issue with how Willie Cauley-Stein played last night, and fans that are trying to be frustrated or upset or angry about it or looking for something to be upset about, you really need to look at yourself in the mirror at that point, because that's a good stat line, a damn good stat line from your athletic center that is not your leader or star on your team. Now, Marvin Bagley's a different case. I've been arguing all morning with different Kings fans who are frustrated, who are still upset, and here is what I will say. I am not blind and I am not naive to the holes in Marvin Bagley's game. I already expressed my extreme disappointment in the fact that he only had 2 rebounds in nearly 30 minutes of play last night. I am also not blind to the holes that he has on the offensive end. He's still very one-dimensional, and I think, like I said earlier, that he needs to work on that and that the Kings need to work on getting him into the right spots in the right situations. I am also not blind to the fact that Luka Doncic had a damn good debut, so has Jaren Jackson Jr., and DeAndre Ayton looked fantastic last night, and he's a number 2 pick, and you would like him to see him doing similar things to what they are doing. And so far, with the exception of his 18-point performance against the Lakers in the California Classic opener, he really hasn't shown that. I'm aware of all of this. Patience and time is key, and it's what he deserves. And I know fans hate that word, patience, and I hate it too. It makes me cringe, but that's what's required for this young man. He didn't start last night. He came off the bench. Ultimately, he delivered in crunch time with a big defensive play. He still got you 7 points, even though he struggled offensively. He got to the line at a decent amount, didn't shoot too well from the line. But Marvin Bagley last night, to me, showed a willingness to want to improve on his struggles and a clear understanding of what it is he needs to work on. And that's all you can ask for someone making his debut with the main roster in the preseason. 25 minutes is all that he's played with this main roster. And fans want to, and I have no problem or issue, and please don't think I have any issue with fans who are concerned or worried or nervous that the pick night may not turn out. That's nothing wrong with that, because everybody, myself included, is worried and concerned that Marvin Bagley may have been the wrong choice. That's natural with anybody who picks in the draft, let alone top two. Like, I'm sure the Phoenix Suns, they're probably feeling better right now after how DeAndre Ayton has played in Summer League and how he played last night. But there's concern with DeAndre Ayton. Was he the right guy at number one overall? Because that's a spot where you can turn your franchise around quickly. You could go back to last year with the Philadelphia 76ers, Markelle Fultz. They seem to be feeling better about him now based off of his work in the offseason. But early to mid last season, do you think the Philadelphia 76ers and Sixers fans were feeling good about that pick? There's always nerves surrounding a high lottery pick. All I can ask is that don't look to pick apart every little bit of Marvin Bagley's game, and do not deal with lazy comparisons like comparing him to Thomas Robinson, and do not deal with premature ultimatums. That because he struggled against DeAndre Ayton, he's not going to be as good of a player. Because Luka Doncic had 16 points and he only had 7 in his preseason debut, that Luka Doncic is the clear-cut better player and is going to have the better career. It's preseason. We don't overreact to the good, and we don't overreact to the bad. Let Marvin Bagley continue to improve, to build now. I will say that if he does not look better by the final preseason game from what he looked in the first one, and it doesn't have to be vastly improved. He doesn't have to go from 7 points to 16. But if he shows and passes the eye test that he's been working on things and things have gotten better by the time we're approaching opening night, that's all you can ask for. And then he's going to look one way on opening night. And by the start of the 2019 calendar year, he should look better than that. And then by the end of the season, he should look better than he was at the start of 2019. That's what you want and what you can expect out of him. I don't expect Marvin Bagley to be the rookie of the year or the best rookie in this class by the end of this season. I think Luka Doncic or DeAndre Ayton are going to win rookie of the year, and they're going to look amazing. I would even potentially put Jaren Jackson Jr. ahead of Marvin Bagley in terms of they look better and are the better player right out of the gate than Marvin Bagley will be. But the Kings picked Marvin Bagley for very specific reasons. They think he's going to fit well alongside De'Aaron Fox. They think he's going to fit well in a transition offense that they're still trying to adapt and bring together and mold. And they think that he can help them with their rebounding and defensive issues. If he can do that, if he can help protect the rim, if he can help pull down rebounds and add to that, and he's giving you, I threw out a number last night that fans seem to be okay with. If he's giving you or able to give you by the end of the season 10 points and 8 rebounds a night, or even flip it, 8 points, 10 rebounds a night, you got to feel pretty good about that. He didn't do it last night. He might not do it Thursday against the Lakers. But Marvin Bagley has time on his side, even though we as fans don't necessarily feel like it because we've been waiting for so damn long. Regardless of what happens with this front office and with this season, there could be a new coach and there could be a new front office in place by the start of next summer. But Marvin Bagley should still be on this team and should still have the appropriate window of time to develop and prove that he was worthy of a number two overall pick. That's really all I am asking from this fan base. Don't deal in lazy ultimatums. Don't deal with lazy comparisons. Watch. You can be nervous. You can voice your concerns. But give him the appropriate time and recognize that just because Luka Doncic or DeAndre Ayton are better right now, that doesn't mean that they are going to be better by opening night or by Christmas or by 2 years from now. Just give him the time and wait to see. And we'll know relatively quickly, right? We should know by December that he is capable of fitting in with the system of what the Sacramento Kings are trying to do. If the Kings truly come out of the gate and are playing fast-paced, almost on a nightly basis or are trying to play fast pace every single game, if the Kings are by December in the top 10 of the league in pace and eye test and statistically Marvin Bagley is struggling to fit in with the offense, even in a transition offense that we thought he'd be good at, then there's cause for concern there. That's an okay evaluation, in my opinion. But before that, after one preseason game, after 25 minutes with the main roster, pump the brakes. Slow your road a little bit. I'm definitely looking forward to the Sacramento Kings and Los Angeles Lakers going to battle on Thursday and then the Kings and Warriors on Friday. Two really good games back-to-back against two very good opponents, even though it's preseason and we're not going to be seeing 35 minutes of LeBron James or Steph Curry. You're going to be seeing how some of these young players and how this new Kings regime and offense can work in limited spurts against the best of the best in this league. That's exciting. The Kings are going to learn a lot about themselves. There's also probably going to be some very, very big pits of misery in those games where we see, oh God, there still is a very big separation between what the Kings are doing now and how good the Warriors or how good the LeBron James-led Lakers are. Don't freak out and overreact about that. Enjoy it and really pay attention to the good and the bad that we highlighted today. All we can ask for, even if the Kings lose by 30 points to the Lakers on Thursday, is was there improvement in these specific areas and in which way areas did they regress? That's all you can ask for. So keep an eye out for that. If you have any takeaways from the game that you want to share with me or anything that you like or dislike about Marvin Bagley or this team or Yogi Ferrell, De'Aaron Fox, anything like that, you can reach me right now on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK. I will respond or try to respond to every single one I get. I talk to everybody or as many people as I can on a daily basis, and it's fantastic. It's why I love doing this. You can also email me if you're not on social media, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. We will be back tomorrow to dive a little bit deeper into the Kings and Lakers game and preview that a little bit. Also, I'm trying to get a couple of guests lined up for the remainder of this week for you, so be sure to stay tuned for that. Until then, my name is Matt George. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast. If you have a second to go to iTunes and leave a quick review, that helps us out a lot, so please do that. Until tomorrow, have yourself a good one. Go Kings! You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.